I'm Daniel Britt, and on the phone with me, two very, very experienced record promoters. We'll find out their official titles. Jim Stover's with Crossroads, and Rhonda Thompson is with Rhonda Thompson Promotions. Jim, start with you. How long have you been in the business?
I came to Crossroads in 1995, Daniel. First as a salesman, and I've been doing radio promotion here since 1999.
And Rhonda?
I started doing radio promotions in 1993, and I worked at Daywind for over 12 years, and this past April, I went out on my own and to become an independent. So I've been doing it a few years.
Is the standard title record promoter, is that what they call you?
Radio promotions.
Radio promotions,
yeah.
Okay.
You can add a few more words before after it, but yeah, that's it.
I actually have a big, long title for my job. It's Director of Radio Promotion.
Okay.
Which means radio promoter.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here are my questions, and you just take turns answering these however you feel. After a record is made, after the artists have cut the song, they've chosen their songs, they've recorded the songs, they've made it onto the CD, how do you, as the radio promoter or whoever does the choosing, how do you choose which songs are to be marketed to radio?
In the experience that I've had, we've always sat down and listened to the full project. And you want to pick a song, you know, that's going to appeal to radio, first of all. And then, second of all, I think you just know when something is recorded, you just know in your heart what that single is going to be, what the song they can single. It's, I don't know, I always go with my gut feeling, and then I do get the opinions of DJs, you know, and what do you like, and here's three or four we're thinking about. And I don't know, I think the song has to speak to someone, and I think that it's got to be able to play on radio and come across really well.
It is a process, Daniel. Here at Crossroads, we have a lot of artists on the label, so we're always, every month we put out a radio sampler. I usually get it started simply by emailing my supervisors, Chris and Mickey, the heads of the labels, the A&R guys.
Mm-hmm.
This is who needs to be on the next comp. And as Rhonda said, you listen. There's input from several people here at the record company. Naturally, the artist has a lot of input. Sometimes they will have been singing a song in concert. That's the case with the Inspiration's latest single. They've been singing that song all summer, and the people really responded. Of course, when we listened after the album was cut, I didn't know that little bit of information that they'd been singing it, and you could just tell, wow, that's the single. Sometimes it's a hooky intro, it's a catchy little thing, and
yeah.
It's an up-tempo thing. It's always the message, always that. That's the bottom line, but it comes wrapped in different forms. Sometimes, as you know, being a DJ a long time, sometimes the ballad moves you big. Sometimes it's that peppy little number, you know, up-tempo thing. Sometimes it's a song that you least expected. We put one out on the Collingsworths recently, and I know it really struck me when I listened to the project. The group wasn't thinking about it at all, but it just really hit me, and I thought, well, if it hit me that way, it's going to hit some DJs that way, and sure enough, it did, and it's their second top 40 song, their second only top 40. Didn't have a lot of stations carrying it, but enough to get it up the charts. So
sure.
It's a variety of things.
Now, Rhonda mentioned that a lot of times it's gut feeling. You just sort of know. And I imagine if it is gut feeling, that makes it easy. But do you ever find it hard where you've got a bunch of good ones, and which ones do you start with?
Boy, you said that well. Sometimes you had just been out with a ballad, so you know it's going to need to be an up-tempo song. But, yeah, you got that gut feeling, but it applies to three or four songs. Here's a good example from a recent release. We had put out a couple releases on Jody Brown Family, and they've gone a little to the progressive side of Southern. And they missed with some of the Southern gospel stations, so we knew we had to get them back in that pocket. So their new album had several that we felt would work, and that helped us make that decision. This one would work better for Southern. But you're absolutely right there, and Rhonda could testify to this. There's always three or four or five songs on a project that would work on radio.
In the experience that I've had with the McGrays, they're a group that I have worked with at Daywind, and I'm still working with now as an independent. What Jim said, you know, you kind of go with a formula, you put a ballad out, and then you might go back with, you might come back with an upbeat song. But for the McRae's, the last song that we had out on them that I worked on was He Knows My Name. Well, we're very blessed. It was able to go number one on the Singing News. But the next one they put out is another ballad called The Word of the Lord. And it's the simple fact is when the girls were telling me that they know what works in churches, what goes over. And it's just what Jim said. It's the message. It's the message of the song. It has got to hit that listener in their heart. It's got to get in their head and go all the way down to their heart.
What's the average CD has, what, 10, 12 songs on it? And so typically how many radio singles do you get out of a project? Two or three or what?
That's the number.
Yeah.
That's the number.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rhonda.
I was going to say 2 to 3. You're right.
No, we just did a project. We didn't just do it. It's over a year old. We've gotten 4 from the latest Reggie Sadler family single, but that's a rare occurrence. Because most of the groups will cut an album a year.
Now, when you market these songs, you pick out 2, 3, in some cases 4 songs from a project, and it's got the remaining 6 or 8 that are left on the CD. You're not saying that those songs aren't any good. And in fact, the program we're going to be talking, featuring music, is a lot of the songs that didn't make it into the radio singles. They're sort of, maybe sometimes they get buried or forgotten because they're not the song that everybody focuses on.
You can't, the days of having filler songs on a CD are gone. You just don't have filler songs anymore. I mean, I know there's several songs. I mean, there's 10 songs on a Crab Family CD that could all go be shipped to radio.
Yeah.
So it's just, and you've got, I mean, the songwriters that are out there now, I mean, it's just amazing. It's just every song basically on a project sometimes, well, 80 to 90% has potential of being a single. So it is hard, very, very hard to pick.
That's true, and there's been a lot of album material that didn't see the light of day on radio, and unless people bought the project, they missed out on some great blessings. And Rhonda's right, there are some great songs. The level of talent out there now just really is amazing. I've dabbled with songwriting over the years, and I see somebody like a Stephanie Brown, or Rhonda mentioned the McRae's, that young lady. Is it Annie? Whoever writes the songs, to be that young writing songs of that depth is just amazing.
Yeah.
Stephanie wrote all of her project, the most recent project, and the caliber of songwriting in Southern Gospel is very high, very high.
Oh, it is. I mean, you were talking about the McRae's. Annie McRae writes the majority of the songs of McRae's projects, and she's just, I think she has the potential to be just right up there. She has the potential to be just, I hate to say superstar, but just one of the most.
Hey,
I think
she has the potential to be the next Stephanie Brown. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, I'm going to put her in there. So,
yeah.
I'm just playing with you.
That's okay.
Can you imagine all of them getting together, Stephanie and Annie and Gerald Crabb and Mark Bishop and Daryl Williams and Sandy Knight and all of them collaborating on one gigantic Southern Gospel song?
Wow.
That would be awesome.
Woohoo!
Awesome.
Well, I'm not going to ask you guys if you've ever been wrong, because I think we all have our ups and downs.
Oh, ask it. Please ask it.
Every day.
He's talking about picking.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But have you ever been surprised? Has radio ever said, you know what, it's a good song, the single you sent out, but we like this one better, and radio has just sort of made up its own mind and taken a song maybe that was, you know, not a pick of yours, but took it on the charts or took it real high for the group? You ever see that happen?
I haven't. Have you, Rhonda? I haven't seen that happen because they're pretty good about staying with us on the singles.
They are pretty good about staying with the singles because they know what marketing you have behind it. And I always say, you know what, if I send you the full project, you can play anything. But please don't just chart only the singles.
That's right.
Spotlight it. That's great, because what someone else may hear on the project that might not be a single might change their mind to go buy that project.
Yeah.
So, and that has happened quite a few times. And then sometimes there are songs that are on projects that they will automatically just turn into soundtracks that is, that won't be a radio single. So there's just lots of things that can happen.
Here at Crossroads, we do also send out the full project to anybody that asks, because the extra airplay is just a benefit.
Oh, yeah.
And a song, the way these songs reach people and touch people, it just, we get to hear a little of it, don't we, Rhonda?
We do.
You do too, Daniel.
Yeah.
I mean, how a song you played touched somebody, and I'm glad to hear those little nuggets every now and again. I wish something came in every day, because sometimes you get caught up in the numerology of this thing, pushing and climbing and charts and graphs, and lose sight of the real impact these songs are having.
That's true.
Man.
And I think a lot of times when you go to quartet convention, we just, you know, recently came from one, that you hear, I mean, DJs have a whole lot more time to share with you what's going on in their lives or what's going on in a lot of their listeners' lives. And then that's when you know, like, God, you know, we are doing something.
Yeah.
Hey, Daniel, here's an exclusive for you, buddy.
Okay.
Rhonda and I are going to work a song together the first time in history.
We are working
together. Because we work for separate record companies for so long. We met on the field of battle as friendly competitors, but we're going to work the Alison Durham Spear new single, I'm Bound for That City, together. Rhonda's going to join me on it next month. Crossroads has entered distribution and promotion agreement with Alison and Brian Spear, and Rhonda's going to team up with me. So.
I am, and I'm so excited.
I told her in an email my theme song is for this campaign is Help Me, Rhonda.
Help Me, Rhonda. And, you know,
bad.
I was talking to another DJ, and I was telling her about that email, and her name was Rhonda, too.
Rhonda Cook, perhaps?
Rhonda Cook.
Oh, I love her.
Oh, you've
heard
that theme song before, haven't you? She's like,
yeah.
But it's going to be cool. I left Jim a message, I think sometime last week.
You did.
And I know it's real busy during this time for us, you know, to actually get back to a phone call or an email most of the time, on time. But I'm excited about working with Jim. We've always kind of worked, like he said, for separate record companies.
Sure.
And now that I'm independent, I'm really enjoying this. I'm going to get to work with a whole lot more artists and work with, you know, I'm very happy I'm going to get to work with Jim and Chris. I've known Chris White for a long time. He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations, guys. That'll be, and Allison's in a good position, I guess. She's got two big names working for her.
We're thrilled. She's a mighty talent.
Oh, yes, she is.
She is. Just precious. Absolutely precious. She and Brian.
Okay, one more question, and you don't have to really go into detail if you don't want to about how, we've already talked about how the process goes, but, you know, if you cast your vote for this song on the CD to be a single, but you got two or three other guys at your record company that says, well, we think it's this, let's take a vote, and you lose. You get the short straw or whatever, and you don't win, or however it works, you know. What is one of your favorite songs that didn't quite make it as a single status? What is some of your favorite forgotten songs?
Well, I'll tell you, a while ago you said something about did you ever pick one that missed, and I'll tell you what, I got a classic about that. Mark Bishop, a couple of years ago, he had a song that had all the bells and whistles and neat arrangement, great lyrics, up-tempo, God Just Answered Another Prayer was the title, and he wanted to put out a song called, a big ballad over 4 minutes long called Son of a Carpenter, and we rarely try to unsell the artist on their idea. But I did. I told him, oh man, this song, it's gotta go. You know, I can't imagine it missing.
Yeah.
And Jeff Collins, the producer, he felt the same way. We put it out and it was a struggle to get it to the top 30, you guys. And Mark was right. I mean, a couple other stations had played Son of a Carpenter and didn't chart it because it wasn't a single, but well, I say he was right. It might have worked better, in other words. But to answer the other question, there was a song Ivan Parker had on his Redeemer album that I thought would have worked. We didn't get to put it out, but it's called If You Could See Yourself, written by a young man named Michael Frost. I thought that would have been a good single. Well, we just didn't get around to it. We did something else instead. And there's always, Rhonda could tell you too, the albums are so full of good material, as she mentioned a while ago.
Yeah.
10 good songs instead of just a couple of good ones and some fillers. The writers are writing great material, so.
I was thinking, I'm sure there's some songs that I wanted that didn't make it as a radio single when I was at Daywind, but I can't get one to pop into my mind right now.
You know, I can't either, really.
I'm glad Jim went. I was like, okay, Lord, please give me an answer.
Well,
that was kind of a non-answer. That was answering your question of a while ago.
Well, of the artists you serve, and you have the CD that you put in, do any favorite cuts come to mind that were not radio singles? Let me phrase it that way.
Yeah, that song that I mentioned on Ivan's project, If You Could See Yourself, oh boy, it'd be hard to remember all of them. Goodness, I can't really think of any because we put out so many here, and Rhonda's in the same position, having dealt with so many artists and so many albums.
I know there's been, when I worked with the Kraft family, I know that there were some songs on their CDs that never did get to make it as a radio single because of Gerald Kraft's fantastic writing. Wounded Soldier was one of them, and I think Kevin Spencer did release that one. That was always one that I just really loved. I think that was on the first project they did with Daywind. And then there's been some Greater Vision songs. But the names just cannot pop in my head. But, yeah, there's been some that I had wanted, but we didn't have time to single because a new project was coming out. And I'm an honest promoter. I have missed the mark on some songs. So, and I'm like, wow, that should have worked. Why didn't it work? But then it goes right back to what Tammy McRae, who is the mother of the McRae girls, said, you know what? It's, you know in your heart when you see them perform that song in churches.
Yeah.
When it ministers to someone. And if it's going to minister to those church people in the churches, then it's going to minister over the radio.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
In the ministry aspect, that is so true. Some of them work on in concert and don't work on the air.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It's crazy stuff out there, y'all. Nah, it's great.
Hey, you guys, you have a science to what you do, and we couldn't do what we do if you weren't there giving us the music, so we're so grateful.
And vice versa, my friend.
Hey, give me websites for both of your companies.
Go ahead, Rhonda. You go first.
First of all, Daniel, thank you. You helped me keep a job. So you helped me be able to feed my kids and pay my bills, and because my husband is in the music industry also, so you know it can be feast or famine. But the name of my company is drumroll, Rhonda Thompson Promotions. I figured that's the name I've been known by all these years. So why not use it?
Yeah.
And it's www.RhondaThompsonPromotions.com.
And for Crossroads, the website is the old three W's and CrossroadsMusic.com.
Jim, Rhonda, thanks so much for taking time to do this.
Daniel, thank you for asking us. Thank you and Marlon there at XM Radio and all the folks there. We really appreciate you and what you're doing.